I saw a sign for a radio station back there, the Surf 96.9. Should we check that out?
Let's do it.
Let's ride the wave.
Vince Chapman will step down in October. Roger Davis has been in the role since 2013. To sport, Geelong AFL star Gary Ablett says he has no explanation for punching his son's player Anthony Miles.
But I'm a little overweight, that's it, my mom looks way behind.
Mana no water in the community one garam IPY.
At Bathurst, number 2, Make Mine Memphis, $150 and $1. 6, My Mate Pog, $210. That's for Melton, race 9. You've got 3 minutes of betting time to go at Melton.
So, when you ask the missus where she wants to go for dinner, and she says,
let's just wing it, babe.
Well, now you know you're in for a hot and spicy night. KFC Alice Springs. So good.
TBTL.
Well, hello, good morning, and welcome to a Thursday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live. Coming to you today from the Alice Springs in Australia's Northern Territory.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
We made it, you guys. We are smack dab in the middle of this wonderful island known as Australia.
Australia is a wonderful island.
And you know what the thing about the people?
And Australians are just as unique, both warm and direct.
And we've been dealing with warm, direct, and unique Aussies all the way up here to Alice Springs. We're going to tell you about that coming up here on episode 2912 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
By the way, my name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
And I'm going to get all anecdotal on you.
If you didn't know that already. I guess you're just tuning in today for the first time. Welcome. This is the show where we trek through Australia and ask you for money. And if you are a longtime listener, you know that that is how the TV Telethon works. Of course, it's just this week from the Lobster to Larrima. More on the TB Telethon coming up, including some of your wonderful, kind feedback that you've been sending in about the show and why you like it and why you've helped keep it going for all these years. Other things we're going to talk about, including some news.
I've got lots of news.
From right here in Alice Springs, where there's been a bullying problem of the plant variety. Just the headline alone from this story is why we have to dig into it. It's, of course, from the local Alice Springs newspaper. We will talk about that also. The outback is, I'll tell you what, the flies are intense as.
Get out of here, you flies.
Trying to use more Aussie terminology in the proper way. The flies in the outback are no joke. We'll tell you about that experience. And, well, it's a Thursday here in Australia, so that means it's a Blursday somewhere in the world. You know, Blursdays do not take a break just because we're trekking through the outback, my friends. So we'll do some Blursday messages as well. That is the plan. This is the guy who's going to help us get it done. He's a boy from the bush, and he's back in town. Also turns out,
I'm an excellent driver.
He was able to successfully get us all the way up here to Alice Springs. He is Andrew.
What's up?
Walsh. I don't know what Aussie slang that is, but he's been using it a ton. He's Andrew Walsh. He joins me right now from across this little table on the balcony of our hotel just off of Hartley Street. Andrew, this is special. This is also for us. This is the beginning of, I think you said earlier, us just owning this podcast thing. Us just saying, we're podcasters and we don't care who knows it.
That's right. Like the we podcasted outside of a spaceship yesterday.
Yeah.
Next to a spaceship yesterday in Coober Pedy. Do you remember one time yesterday when I was driving and I totally had road, I was transfixed by the road hypnotism, and I went
through. I'm glad you didn't use a different term.
I went through 7 different versions of me trying to remember the name Coober Pedy.
And each one you got further away.
Yes, like a raft just floating out to sea. I became so brain dead.
And it's weird because I didn't try to save you. I cut the. I just said I got to save myself here. I cut the line and I let you drift out into the ocean of brain fog.
And now I've got a volleyball named Bogan that I hang out with.
Hey, you know what?
I got Bogan back.
Good job.
We lost that at the end of yesterday's show.
I saw one of the places that we walked by last night on our way to get some dinner offered Bogan trivia.
Oh, really?
And it said wear your flannel. So you're supposed to dress up like a Bogan.
Wow.
That would be somebody from kind of out. You know, that'd be a boy from the bush.
Right.
And you dress up like a Bogan, you put your flannel on, you go down to whatever that place was, you do some trivia.
But, sorry, I just sent us on 17 different tangents.
It's okay.
That's on me. But
I'm going to be able to bring us back. I know where you're going with this.
Yesterday, we were podcasting outside of that spaceship from Riddick and Cooper Petey, and we saw a little red car. I'm pretty sure we commented on it during the podcast. A little red car came into the driveway where we were podcasting and kind of did a little loop and turned around and went back out. And we said to ourselves, I wonder what's going on with that driver. Well, it turns out that driver worked at the motel we were staying
at. I mean, that's
at.
A driver.
And she, later on, she came in. She's worked on the housekeeping staff, and she came in to clean my room. And I, as she was coming in and I was going out, I said hello. And she said, hey, was that you podcasting by the spaceship over there? And I said, yes, indeed. And she wanted to make sure that I knew it was from Reddick. Pitch Black.
Ribbit. Yep.
From Ribbit.
Cooper Reddit.
Peter Cooby Ribbit.
our first show title.
Anyway, what struck me about that was she didn't say, hey, what were you guys doing out there? Were you doing some sort of weird radio project? Or even back in the day.
Is it a religious ceremony?
Back in the day, you'll recall, Luke, you would go out to do radio stories, I'm sure, and people would be like, where's your camera? Or how do I look? And you'd be like, this is a microphone, not a camera. It seemed like there used to be a lot of confusion about any kind of broadcasting in the wild. But we live in a world now, even in the outback, where somebody sees a couple of Bogans, a couple of jabronis with a couple of microphones, and they know that they're podcasters.
I refuse to self-identify as a jabroni for the record.
You don't have to self-identify. I'm identifying you as a jabroni. But yeah, I was impressed by that, and I just said to you, you know what? We got to stop pretending like the world doesn't know what we're doing.
And I think that was actually kind of – that was a good thing for us to think about because we rolled up here to Alice Springs, and you and I – last night we were kind of talking about like – today's show, and we were like, you know, it's going to be a little sterile in the hotel room. So we wanted to try to, you know, have add a little energy to things. But, you know, you and I generally like to just hide from the world when we're doing this because we feel a little self-conscious. And I said, well, should we try to do it out on the balcony where I think you can hear housekeeping is already cleaning other rooms here in this motel? And you said, look, if we're going to go to Larima tomorrow, we're going to set this system up in the Pink Panther pub in Larima, Northern Territory. This is the place that launched at least one TBTL-a-thon trip. And if we're going to go up there and if we're going to turn these mics on and if we're going to actually do a decent show, we are going to have to really just like, I mean, honestly, get a brain transplant, get a self-esteem transplant before then. And so us being out here on this balcony, we've already had one business dude walk by. And again, housekeeping will be out here.
Well, the funny thing about the business dude who walked by is we're outside my room, but also outside his room. He's my neighbor here. And so I think he might have heard us. I think he heard the beginning of the podcast and was like, I don't think I'm sticking around for this.
I disagree.
You think so?
Because I smelled him putting on his cologne 15 minutes ago.
You think he was getting ready to go out?
I think he was all showered. He had his briefcase.
Yeah,
I don't think that he was scared off by us. I will tell you, this neighborhood we're in, Andrew, I need to apologize to you right here at the top of the show. Because I think last night I was – you don't even know what I'm apologizing for.
But that's our dynamic.
You may not forgive me when you hear what I'm about to apologize for.
What have you done?
You know, we got here last night and the neighborhood we're in is an interesting one. We're in Alice Springs, as I've already mentioned. And like it seems like this motel that we're in – is somewhere where there are a number of people who are, I believe, are probably kind of living here. I saw people hanging their laundry outside. People had rigged up some hot plates, which I don't think is standard issue at the hotel. And, you know, as we were checking into the hotel last night, there were some kind of rough, there were some legit boys from the bush.
Oh, yeah.
That were checking in.
Probably minors or something. I don't
know. Maybe. I mean, they looked over 18 to me. I mean, they were somehow.
Where's your damn bell?
My damn bell right here. But it's, you know, there's some rough and tumble people staying in the motel. And then when we went out and we had a little dinner walking around, there's like some rough and tumble people in the immediate neighborhood. And I think I was, I'll be honest with you, the room, the carpet in my room could have been a little cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
The general vibe was a little on the dingy side. That's all right. You know what? We're asking people to donate money this week to the show. There's no reason that we need to be staying in the Taj Mahal. Mm-hmm. Also, that's not even in this country.
Oh, shit. Wait, it's not in Larimer?
They're the boys from the Taj, and they're back in town. So it's all fine. But I think I was in a weird mood last night, and I was kind of like a little complainy. And I felt bad because you went to great lengths to research and set up all of the motels we're staying in, with the exception of Larimer, which you said, I want you to call that one. That one makes me a little nervous.
Yeah.
And anyway, this place is totally fine. I got up this morning. I slept great. Now, I will mention that I did sleep in sweats, a sweater, and this hat.
You didn't want a lot of
I pulled
skin
the hat down.
The bed.
So no, like very little of my body was in contact with any of the bedding, which I felt good about.
Nobody asked, but I just want everybody to know I slept totally naked.
Yeah, and nobody asked.
On the porch.
Well, you're leaning into it. I'm a nude podcaster. I don't care who knows it. Anyway, I got up this morning, and it's a beautiful morning here in Alice Springs. This neighborhood is actually quite vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, again, it's like a lot of neighborhoods where you have a kind of a convergence of different folks. You got some folks that are kind of down on their luck. You got some folks that are up on their luck. You've got across the street my new favorite coffee shop in the world. It's called House of Tallulah.
Mm-hmm.
I go in there this morning, Andrew, and the first thing I asked was, do you guys sell bottles of water? And the woman looked at me. Now, I am under the impression that this House of Tallulah is an art space / coffee shop. Well, I'll just read you what the bag says. House of Tallulah, tuck shop, takeaway, dancing, entertainment, sometimes. They offer dancing, and they offer entertainment, and they offer sometimes. I don't know what sometimes is. It's run by a Croatian woman. There is a Croatian flag in there, which I took a picture of to send to our friend Kamero Kev's wife,
nice,
Anita.
Yeah.
That's my wife.
Who tracks the comings and goings of all Croats across the world.
Mm-hmm. There's pride there.
Indeed. Including Branko Sikatic. One time, the Croatian strongman, Branko Sikatic. Anyway, he's an MMA person, not a political leader.
When you said the strong person strongman, I pictured immediately one of those big wrestlers in a black singlet.
Yeah. He was more like a MMA kickboxery type
dude.
Anyway, I'm in love with this coffee shop. Not the least of the reasons being, I asked, do you sell bottles of water? I wanted to get some water with my long black add milk, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and I'll spare you the accent because, of course, you'll know when I'm doing it. She said, we have jars. And I was like, jars? And she just pointed to the refrigerator and she said, yeah, just jars of water. Take one. She was like, either recycle it or bring it back. Whatever. It's fine. Free jars of water offered by the House of Tallulah. And I have it with me. I don't know what this was. Was this a pickle jar at some point? Relish, maybe?
Salsa, possibly?
Oh, salsa's a good... that's a good candidate for what was in here. There was some food product in this jar. It's been washed out, scrubbed clean, filled with water, and just given to me. Like, take a jar of water for the road, bruh.
You know, you told me that this morning. I was a little confused where the jar of water was because I knew that. Here's the deal.
It's a good water jar, bro.
I knew that you were, like, somewhat put off by this motel last night. And so when you said, I asked for a water, and they just said, take a jar, I thought you meant, like, the guy downstairs at the hotel. And it just goes to show you what a huge difference it is. Like, here in this hotel, which, you know, is fine, if you had gone downstairs and said, can I buy a bottle of water, and they said, take a jar of water,
right,
you would have had a very different experience than going literally across the street to this building I can see.
Which is this
cute little, like, crunchy little, like,
feminist
arty
bookstore / coffee shop / jar water.
Which has so much personality. And then when I went in there to get my coffee later and I saw the refrigerator full of jars of water, I was like, oh, that's where he got the jar. That is adorable.
They just have a bunch of kids' toys in the front yard. And throughout the morning, kids have just, look, there's a person going in with a kid right now to get coffee. There's a dad and his daughter just chilling in the front yard, and the little girls playing with the toys. Mm-hmm. It was happening earlier with, I believe, the owner of the spot, and her daughter, who I was playing with in there, you know, like playing peekaboo with. It's just a really cool little community thing, and it's interesting how one thing like that can completely turn my opinion of this whole neighborhood, and even by extension, this motel, around in my mind. So sorry that I was being kind of a little bit of a downer last night. I appreciate you letting me go to the first restaurant in all of Australia that I've been to where I can actually eat food that is not French fries or chips, as they would be called here.
You had like a ramen salad thing that looked really good.
Vietnamese noodle salad.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable.
That looked really good. You got some vegetables. I got a chicken sandwich. I almost got another salad. I need to be eating more greens. I've eaten nothing but Spog Bowl chips.
Oh, by the way, you went back for
Jance
that.
Jance crackers since I've been
things,
here.
A couple of things. Oh, a Spog and a Jance?
Yeah, just, hey, I'm good for a Spog and a Jance once or twice a year.
So we bought at the like a gas station early on in the trip this bag of spaghetti. We learned bolognese. The bowl is not, the B-O-L is not for bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I would be misspelling it. It's short for bolognese. Apparently a big thing here in Australia.
Yeah.
And we grabbed this bag of spaghetti bolognese chips, mostly just as a lark because it was just funny looking. And then we ate them and we were both like, these are not bad.
They're good.
And then you actually voluntarily, easy.
You got a lot of crows.
Yeah, there's a crow-based podcast that has the spot reserved starting in 45 minutes, so we've got to kind of get out of here.
Right.
Anyway, you bought you've been buying spaghetti-flavored chips. Like, now you just like them.
Yeah, I bought a second bag. I always buy a second bag of Spog Bowl. I've been changing the lyrics of Boys from the Bush to Spog from the Bowl, which is, you know,
good.
I've only got that line down. We're the Spog from the Bowl, and we're here to get hungry. I can't remember what the next line is. I'm going to work on that. We have 6 hours drive today, I think, or seven maybe up to Tennant Creek.
Yeah.
So don't worry, like, Luke, I'm going to work on that, and you're going to be in on the process. You'll be hearing me kind of work
the
it out.
The iterative process.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
So don't worry. I'm not going to keep this from
honestly,
you.
Honestly, it's like a master class in creativity to get to just sit next to you in the car.
Oh, I know what it is. We're the Spog from the Bowl, and we're here to eat, right? Yeah, that's what. So
I think
that's
a good
line.
Starting place.
Uh-huh,
I think we know what the song shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And now we work backwards towards. That's how you do it in Australia. You start with what it shouldn't be, and then you work backwards. Hey, speaking of our long drives, good job yesterday. Mm-hmm. You drove the car for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you did a really good job.
How's the mirror? Do we still have a passenger side mirror?
Yep, you did
all
not
right,
hit that on anything at all.
All right, good.
But what was fascinating, or I guess maybe surprising, was you did a great job driving, but then you said last night after we were all done eating, you were just like wrung out because you think of the kind of like mental and physical focus that it was taking from you to drive the car on the other side of the road and the other side of the car.
I think it was a combination of a lot of things, and I was going to say to you, the state that you saw me in last night, you've never seen me in before. And the
That's
truth of
true.
The matter is, literally nobody has seen me in the state that I was in last night. I was in a, you and I went to have dinner, and then we got a quick drink afterwards. You were not drinking.
I was trying, but you wouldn't let me. I kept going like, just something to get right. And you were like, no.
I will not say it here, but they had a shot on the menu in that second bar we went to that the language they use. Rough. As dirty as you can imagine. But we did, like, so dinner was fine, but I think that it was a combination of, I knew you were really bummed about the hotel, which did bum me out, which
I'm sorry.
It was one of those things too where I was kinda like, am I not seeing it? And today, this morning, I walked around and I saw some of the things that you had seen that I think had, like, was your first impression. And I came in and, like, this is definitely not, like, you know, I'm not ordering room service here, but to be honest with you, I've also stayed in worse places.
Oh, I know you have.
So, like,
when we've been on work trips together, and you're in charge of booking your hotel, it will often be I am in a place that's a little bit nicer or, you know, more to my sort of quote unquote standards. And I'll be like, and where are you staying? And you're like, the dodgy motel located on Sketchball Avenue. In the robbery district.
In the robbery district. But, like, I mean, honestly, I mean, not usually. You're exaggerating a bit, but like there have been times, like in my 20s, when I remember we went down to Atlantic City, and there were like, yeah, I mean, again, we're in our 20s, yeah, you know, and we're like broke, like that. And like, I remember one time sharing a room with two beds, and I believe there were six of us who went down there and got one hotel room for $65 in Atlantic City, and that was the worst hotel room I've ever. So anyway, I kind of came in here. I was like, I don't know, it's not great.
I know.
But it
I'm sorry.
Too,
though. No, that's I'm okay. Sorry, I put you in a bad mental place.
I'm not trying
night.
To like. I'm not trying to rub that in, but I think it was that, and I also think it was like kind of. So then I'm feeling bad, and I'm also. You saw me. I was checking my phone. I was like, how could I have made such a mistake? It like seems central, and the website for this place, by the way, not. Have you gone to it? Like, if you look at the website, it's not bad at all.
Well, that's the weird.
There's people drinking cocktails at the pool.
Well, that's the weird part is that this place is both totally fine and then totally sketchy at the same time,
yeah.
And you kind of the website presents the totally fine part. Anyway, I don't want to belabor this too much longer.
Yeah, so,
this place is completely okay, and again, I feel horrible that I put you in that state of mind, but you really were, you hit some kind of mental, emotional, physical wall last night that I don't think I've ever witnessed
and
before.
I don't think anybody's seen me. And then we went to the second bar, which you and I were happy because it was like the first bar that like resembled something that would be like, it wasn't a bunch of fluorescent lights,
no.
It was darkened, that you could sit at the
bar
if you
wanted
to.
They let us sit on saddles.
There was a place where you could sit on saddles and look out the window, which I thought would be more comfortable, but as I say it, I guess.
I have a lot of respect for whoever rode the first horse up here, because we sat on those saddles for about 45 seconds and we're like, nah.
I think we're done. But, you know, and then like all this like pop music, like modern kind of like really, it was kind of loud, and there was like video. And
One Direction.
Yes. And I was
Jason Derulo.
I just had this 1,000-yard stare, and this giant TV was behind you, and I just couldn't take my eyes off the TV. And I think it was like, I think it was also 7 hours of like, I enjoyed driving it. This isn't a complaint. Like, I totally enjoyed it. It was a great experience. And also, it's like, so cool. I mean, you're just driving hours and hours and hours and nothing changes. I mean, it was a hell of an experience. But I do think that by the time I parked, by the time I got a little bit of food in me, by the time I calmed down, feeling maybe a little bit bummed and kind of ashamed, and I was just like, all of a sudden, my whole body just shut down. And then you left. You're like, I'm going to take off. I'm going to go to bed. I'm like, okay, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to read my phone for a little bit. But then as soon as you left, I'm like, I can't be in this particular bar anymore. I can't listen
curious.
To One Direction anymore.
As I walked out, I saw you just sitting, because the place was totally empty.
Yeah.
It's kind of a Western-style saloon, as you would as the saddles would indicate, and you're just sitting at this kind of big table by yourself looking at your phone, and I was just like, he is not going to stay here long. This is not for Andrews.
No, but there was another. So I opened up the phone. I was like, I'm going to get one more beer. And again, this is like 8:30-ish or something. And I'm like, I'll get one more beer, hang out here, and just kind of like relax. Like, I haven't had cell service in 8 hours. I'll just like kind of catch up on all the Instas, Finstas, and mm-hmm. Dinstas.
Yep. Here they call it a Dinsta.
And, you know, I just wanted, you know, just to take that moment, have a little bit of Andy time. But the second you left, I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and listen to One Direction anymore. So I walked in the opposite direction about a half a block up. There's a much more charming little bar. I wish you and I had gone to it. It wasn't as divey. I know I tend to be the divey kind of guy, but this was more of a, like kind of an outdoor cafe area, but you could get like a beer, and it was much nicer, and they're playing Dolly Parton.
Oh,
and it had
wow.
a lot more. It wasn't like
how many saddles
thing.
Did they have?
No saddles.
Okay.
It had some heat lamps. It was kind of mostly, it was kind of like half indoor, half outdoor in this almost Los Angeles kind of way. And I liked it. But I sat down there and I'm like, okay, this is what I need. I'm just going to sit here, relax, read my phone, and just have a nightcap. And I went in there and honestly ordered a beer, drank half of it. And I was like, I just can't be awake anymore. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. So I came back here and I crawled into bed at 8:45. I think that, and I talked to Genevieve this morning. That was another thing too. I think I was just missing Vives, like, not to be corny, but like,
aww, that's not corny.
You are much better at staying in touch with Carrie when you're on the road. And I had not talked to we had one misguided attempt to video chat with Genevieve on the road, I think on Monday, our Monday.
I
maybe.
Was there.
Yeah, and that didn't really work
she
out.
She was at the Pinehurst, if I can say, with our friends Roden and our friend Katie.
Yep.
And they seemed like they were having a great time.
Apparently, I talked to her today. Apparently, Anita came out, a rare Anita. Nita's sighting, and
whoa.
Kevin, apparently it was quite the to-do on Memorial Day night, but or I guess that was Sunday night. But anyway, I think it was just like I was missing her, and mm-hmm. It was just like a bunch of things where we've been eating weird. Like mm-hmm. every now and then, like you're just kind of like, oh, your body is trying to tell you something. So
yes.
I went to bed last night at 8:45, and I'm not going to go heavy into dream talk here, but I need to just like tell you this because it was so clearly on my mind about like that, you know, kind of you know, well, I'll tell you what. I went to bed. I slept for about 3 hours, and then I woke up. Did you hear the fighting at, like, 12:45? There was, like, a big fight. Like, I heard a man and a woman screaming, then other men's voices coming
I was probably out.
Other people staying here. And I was like, oh, no. And it kind of played into all of your concerns about this place. I was like, oh, no. I went to bed.
The irony is that I was dead asleep, loving this hotel by that point, and you were like waking up and having all of these suspicions confirmed.
Luke, that thing woke me up. I'm awake for about an hour more. When I finally fall back asleep, I had 4 hours of dreaming about people breaking into the room and me fighting them off with my microphone stand while they're trying to steal my equipment. And this thing was not like a little bit of a dream. This was a dream that would not end, and they kept coming. They kept coming.
Why didn't you poke the inside of your hand to try to take control of this dream from a lucid standpoint?
I mean, I was battling people with my mic stand all night.
Oh, no. I did this to you.
You didn't do it.
No,
you
know why?
No, make you feel
no
bad.
But if I wouldn't have been such
weird,
a little poopy pants last night, you would not have had that in your mind. If I would have been just, you know, I don't know if I've talked about this on the show. I've certainly talked about it off the air with you. But something that somebody said about Anthony Bourdain and his why he was so good at that, you know, the TV show that he did was because he would go into situations, and he said this, that he would go into situations thinking this is going to be great, not thinking this is going to suck.
Yeah, right.
And I want to do that more. I'm trying to do it more. Had I come into this place last night and just been like, hey, this is cool. This will be totally fine, dude. By me being like, oh, well, I saw some, you know, I saw some ladies of the night downstairs, which I do think I saw. But anyway, I started rolling this little small snowball down a hill that then ended up with you having dreams about having to defend your room with your microphone
stand.
By the way,
it just occurred to me, I think they ended up winning at the end. I held them off for a really long time, but I think they got my mixing board at the end.
Oh,
so.
No.
You look like
sorry
a dreamcatcher came to life.
Okay, we need to make you
on.
A better fighter in your dreams.
I hung in there for a long time. You would have been proud.
Well, listen, you did a really great job driving yesterday. I'm sorry that I kind of was so complaining last night. I won't do that again, okay? I'll stay on the sunny side of the street from now on.
Well, and again, I didn't say all of that. I just needed to tell you about these crazy dreams. It was just such a weird night. And I apologize to you this morning, too, because I literally nobody has ever seen me like in whatever state I was in. Like, as you know, completely un-drug-induced or beer-induced. Really, I had two beers. But they were trying to say I was drunk.
Yeah.
That's my Bogan voice.
No, it's good. I'm going to get you a flannel shirt.
Like, I almost wondered, like, did you think that I was popping pills or something? Because I felt like I must have been so glassy.
No, I just thought you were really tired. And I also, again, I think even at that moment, I regretted how kind of complainy I was being. So, okay.
Well, you weren't so bad. But so, can we talk about Tennant Creek for a second, though? Because I think that's the other thing, is I think that I have a lot of anxiety about going into Tennant Creek. Like, we are now, this is our last safe zone. Sorry, I know you want to move on, but I just want to say Alice Springs is, like, much bigger than we thought. It's like, you looked it up, 150,000 people, which is, like, almost three times as big as Concord, New Hampshire, which is, like, where I spent a lot of time. So this is a big area. Good connectivity, Wi-Fi, cell service, but, like, after this, man, we are really headed. The next two places we are staying are real outback towns, and we're not really getting into civilization until we reach Darwin after our Larima show.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got that anxiety going, too, because we were talking about this on the drive yesterday. Even though we both have a lot to lose if these shows don't get posted, as in, like, literally, people may not donate to the TB Telethon because maybe we don't get to remind them of the importance of their donations. More on that coming up. But somehow it's been a thing where I've just been like, I don't know, it'll be fine. Andrew will figure something out. Andrew's phone will magically upload the show the way it has been so far.
And we will.
And we will, but it's still, at the end of the day, you just know more about how that stuff works now and what has to happen and what hoops need to be jumped through. So you're also shouldering a tremendous amount of anxiety around, really, if the Tennant Creek show and if the Larima show will actually ever see the light of day by way of the internet because of all of the connectivity stuff. So you've had a lot going on. I will mention that I liked being a passenger yesterday
for
a few reasons. One is because I could be on Kangaroo Watch.
Yeah.
Unsuccessful.
I know.
Kangaroo Watch.
We were not your fault.
One of the listeners jumped on Slack and asked. They said, "Did I miss it, or have Luke and Andrew seen an actual alive kangaroo?" We've seen many, many, many kangaroos that unfortunately met a grisly end on the side of the road. I saw one live kangaroo in the wild as we were pulling out of Port Augusta, of all places. Like, we were not even that far outside of town. I was driving. I looked to my left. Standing by a fence was a full-on kangaroo, and I was geeked. I also thought that was the first of thousands of kangaroos I would be spotting.
Because I didn't see it.
And we have not... Yeah, you didn't actually get a chance to see it because it kind of went by quickly. And then since then, we have not seen one kangaroo. And it's weird because... Clearly, they exist out here because many of them are passing away on the side of the road.
Yeah, it's really it's. I got to say, and I know that you're kind of a you're kind of a super feeler when it comes to seeing any kind of roadkill. Honestly, even small, what I would consider to be kind of your average kind of American roadkill. I remember when we were on our and this is before you were a vegetarian. I remember like you were starting to on our RV trip 2 years ago, around this time exactly 2 years ago, and you were like, wow, and I was like, wow, he just saw a bunny on the side of the road, and you were pretty upset about that, like legit. And now, like, it is something. I know we talked about it yesterday, but it's just seeing all of these kangaroos on the side of the road and not even having the benefit of seeing one live one. As we said, I guess I'd rather not see one than see one up close that we accidentally hit, which is a huge – that's still a big concern of mine. But if I come to Australia, not just to Australia, but through the entire outback, like how many people drive through the entire outback in the world? We are so blessed to be able to do this, and I want to see a GD kangaroo.
I still hold out hope that we will see some. I mean, we are in the middle of the country. We have already gone through some real remoteness, but we are going to go into even more remote lands from here. Is it Van Diemen's Land? I don't know.
What does that actually refer to again?
I feel like that might be about Australia, actually.
Should I look it up, or should we just let it ride?
Why don't we let the listeners throw their phones out the window? Not before donating to the TV Telethon.
Right.
Then throw your phone. I'll tell you an animal that I told you yesterday, Andrew. I was like, you know, I have a like intrusive empathy about animals now. There is one animal that I am not that sad about dying, and those would be flies the outback. So we had heard that the flies from our friend Kelly, among others, who's a listener and also a friend of mine and also a person who has spent a bunch of time in Australia and in the outback, actually. She said the flies are going to be the worst thing for you. It's not the snakes. It's not the spiders. It's the flies. Then I read somewhere that because we're coming in the, you know, sort of late fall, early winter, that the flies would be gone, so we were going to be really lucky. Well, the flies are not gone.
No, they're not.
We stopped at the boundary between the South Australia and the Northern Territory, and we stopped to take a picture with this big sign, and we got out of the car. It could almost be the show pick today, except it would gross everybody out.
It's kind of gross, yeah.
We were immediately beset by flies, covered in them. Like, you took a picture of my shirt. Mm-hmm. I had, I don't know, 100 flies on me. This is just like upon stepping out of the car.
Immediately.
And like it's really, I mean, I'm kind of getting the heebie-jeebies just thinking about it. It's like, you know, they're all over. They're landing on your face. They feel like they're going in your ear, your eyes, your nose. It's just like, ugh. We saw people wearing these like mesh hoods that go over your whole face and head. And I was like, okay, God. Like, we saw two hitchhikers as we were pulling out of Cooper Petey. I'm sorry, as we were pulling out of Petey Reddit, we saw some hitchhikers, and they and we debated, by the way, picking them up, because, of course, last year, we were the hitchhikers.
And they looked so, they were like kind of bouncing up
they
and down.
They were young, it was a man and a woman, and they had signs that said Alice Springs, and they were dancing. And honestly, had it not been within the first 4 minutes of you trying to pilot the car, maybe we would have considered it. It was just a bad time for us.
That would have been, I mean, think about it. They're trying to hitchhike. I mean, we were just trying to hitchhike here and there in the United States. They're trying to hitchhike, what? I don't know how many kilometers it was.
I have a feeling it's easier out here.
Because, like, one person picks you up and you're going the whole way.
And, you know, I also feel like people are just kind of, probably there's a certain kinship on the road of, like, we're all out on this weird road that's just, like, epically long. Like, honestly, if we saw somebody who had pulled over for any reason, flat tire, we would stop.
Of course. Like, it wouldn't even be an animal not to.
Yeah, it wouldn't even be a question. So, but they had those mesh hood, like, mask hood things on, and I was like, all right, guys, let's not get crazy.
And let's not be extra.
And then we get to the, we stop for this sign, and we get out, and I'm like, ugh!
Yeah.
So that was brutal, and I am totally fine with those flies not existing anymore. I don't understand the kind of, like, the biodynamics of it. Like, you'd think that there would be lots of flies in areas where there's lots of people and garbage and stuff. You'd think that the outback would not have very much going for it in terms of, like, if I was a fly, it's as Todd Glass once said.
If I was a fly.
Todd Glass once said, why would a bird live in a crappy neighborhood? It's like, why would a fly live in the outback?
I love him.
I would live, you know, I would live on one of these delicious muffins I got from House of Tallulah. I was a $10 minimum charge on my card, so I had to
get
this muffin. But I would live on one of these muffins if I were a fly.
Ooh, that looks good. What kind of muffin is that?
Like white chocolate and something else.
Oh, that looks good. No, I'm good. Thank you. But I do. I am wondering about, before we head up north, not to get off fly talk, but, you know, I went in there and I tried to pay with a card because I was like, I'm down to, I don't know, like $60 Australian, which doesn't go super far. So I tried to pay with my card there and they told me about the minimum and I just ended up paying with cash for my coffee. But it did occur to me, we should probably get some cash, right? We're going to a part of the country where I don't know, like, how. You did give them a credit card number to reserve our room in Larimer. So there's some sort of, I guess, credit card technology, right?
Yeah, which is weird because it's supposedly no cell phone and no internet,
right?
But they must have some kind of a thing. Well, they don't have Wi-Fi, so I think like maybe they have a computer that's plugged into some rudimentary, you know, satellite dish thing or something. It is going to be it is going to be otherworldly, even by the standards of a trip that has been already otherworldly. For us,
it really is. And this is, we're, as I mentioned earlier, I feel like we're slowly turning up the heat on this adventure, right? Like, it was just such a big deal to get here and then even to start in the southern part of the country where there's stuff going on. And, I mean, yesterday getting from Peter Kuby all the way to Alice Springs was going to be a big leap, and now this is really it. Can I mention one thing? This is just a quick production note for people who are following along. Obviously, we are, like, this is our Thursday show. We realize it's going to be posting on Wednesday afternoon for all you guys, but we're sticking with it. But what's going to happen is the Larimer show that we're talking about, because there's no connectivity, the next show, which will be our Friday show, and you'll get it Thursday
afternoon. I have it all written down.
The next show we do will be out of Tennant Creek, and that will post tomorrow, which is Thursday for you guys, and that is our Friday show. The next time you will hear from us will be the Larimer show, which is going to post Monday, your time, and that'll be our time. We'll be back in the States. I'm only saying that because since we kind of started this on a Sunday in the States, I don't want you to think that, like, if we go dark on this Friday, that you think that something went wrong. Like, basically, we're kind of doing a Sunday through Thursday, your time, this week, as opposed to a usual Monday through Friday.
And we talked about this on the drive, because, of course, we had a lot of time yesterday.
Yeah, talked about it a lot.
And we thought, well, should we delay the release of the show from Tennant Creek? Should we, like... and then we were like, no, we'll just trust the listeners. Hey, if you get the Friday show on Thursday night in the States and you want to listen to it, well, then you just won't have the show on Friday. If you can't make the show last, I mean, that's fine. You finish if you gobble it up.
Little finger waggy there.
Really? Okay, sorry.
No.
I just hate this hotel so much, Andrew. So you'll get the Friday show on Thursday night. Obviously, you can listen to it then. You can listen to it on Friday. But then the next time you hear from us will be Monday. And everything is A-OK.
Yeah,
that's a good, because people, I mean, really, we're going into like a total non-communication zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to be off the grid, off the map in terms of shows posting. And that's a recipe for these listeners worrying for us. Because we had, you know, so many competing pieces of advice around the gasoline, the petrol, the dieseline.
And we still are getting advice. I'm getting articles from people why you should never travel with gas in your car, why you should always travel with gas in your car.
Yeah, it's really like, okay, so what we ended up with was we're bringing a jar of gas from Tallulah's.
But we got to return it.
I know, that's going to be a real hassle.
Do the Qantas people know that?
Can you guys just quickly pop us back to Alice Springs so we can return the jar of gasoline. We went with, I thought this was actually a Solomonic kind of agreement decision, which was we did not bring gas.
Like extra cans in the back,
I mean, we had gas in the gas tank of the car. We did.
And I'd been eating a lot of Jance and a Spog Bowl. So
and
I had
jarts
some gas.
Were not good.
So I had some gas.
Jance has given you jarts. And The deal was we're not going to bring like an additional gas can, which I'm kind of glad we didn't, because we don't have the car doesn't have a trunk for the record. It's all kind of one thing. So if there were fumes, it would have been annoying to us and who knows, maybe dangerous. But what we are doing is stopping at every single petrol station and topping off, even if it's just like a gallon or two or a liter, you know, 8 liters.
Yeah.
Really trying to lean into our metric system. And I think that, by the way, you said kilometers yesterday in a way that was so natural. I was like, this is how you're going to bug Genevieve.
Well, we really are thinking in kilometers now. I mean, you have to after a few days. Like, all the signs are in kilometers. Everything is in kilometers. And we were driving, and I think I told you, like, oh, yeah, I saw something about 10 kilometers back. And you, bell sound. Ding.
Okay.
You were like, right. Oh, jeez. No, it's okay. You didn't know where I was going with that. But I said, yeah, it was about 10 kilometers back. And you're like, boom. There it is. That you're just going to start saying kilometers in
yes.
the States, and then that is how people are going to be annoyed by
and
you.
And the irony is that, as I mentioned, I would guess that Genevieve, like most thinking people, recognizes how silly it is that the U.S. is basically the one place on planet Earth that does not do the metric system.
Uh-huh.
Like,
yeah, she's probably pro-metric system. I don't know.
Well, it's just logical. I mean, call me a globalist, but it's like, okay,
globalist.
Everybody's on one page and we're just on this other page because we're the U.S. and we're exceptional.
Right.
So most of the people that'll be annoyed at you saying kilometers, it's not even like they think it's wrong, but they'll just think it's an affectation. And
right.
that is really, that's what you're going for.
Right, right, right.
I said cuppa this morning to you via text message.
Yeah, yeah.
And honestly, I didn't have to make myself.
That wasn't a kind of a wink and a nod?
It really wasn't. I was just
really?
Like, I'm going to get a cuppa because that's what we're calling it here.
Yeah.
I am not trying to do the same project as you.
Yeah, right.
I am not trying to be that person who comes back from a semester abroad and
right.
says, what do you call it?
Right.
I can't even think of the English.
You call it coffee. How quaint.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I just keep calling it cuppa because I was in Australia for a week. Hey, let's remind folks that, of course, this is TBTL-a-thon 10 from the Lobster to Larima, and we are asking you to. I'm just going to keep talking this way for the rest of the show. The muffin. I don't know what was in that muffin from Tallulah's, but it's got me feeling crazy. We're asking folks to go to TBTL.net and make a donation, or maybe if they feel comfortable with it, up their donation. If that's something that works for you financially, so that we can keep doing this show. And, you know, we have a bunch of thank you gifts that we're really proud of and excited about this year. We have the pins, which are all Australia related. There's a kangaroo, there's a lobster, mm-hmm. there's a crocodile, and then there's the continent of Australia and with a line through it. And we are on that line. We're in the middle of that line
right
now.
Yes. If you go on the website and you look at the pin, then picture us right in the middle of that pin.
Then you've got like the T-shirt, which has the Larima pub on it, and then the back features the tour dates. This is kind of like we're actually doing this more. This is more of a concert environment, more of a show. Look at just like people that don't have crippling self-doubt about
that's
their
right.
job. Look at us.
That's right.
So that's on the back of the shirt's got all the places that we've been to, and then of course the bobbleheads, which we're really excited about. Because it turns out that it's very hard to get bobbleheads made from a Photoshopped photo. And thanks to our friend Kat and everybody who pitched in on it, we actually got the thing done.
Yep.
So we got bobbleheads of me and Andrew. I do believe that the Luke bobblehead is taller than Andrew. Although we need to talk about this at some point. I think I might be the same height as you now in real life.
Yeah, I think I'm shrinking.
I think
and
you might
you're
be
a growing boy.
Well, it's all this jarred water that I've been enjoying. I think it's really a sort of...
Do Jance stunt your growth? I keep on saying Jance. I don't think I've really let the listeners... They're like a Ritz kind of cracker, only less buttery.
But I think you and I might be almost the same height.
We probably are.
Because we've been taking a lot of photos... And which is not normally our thing. You and I are not big selfie guys, but I think we have been taking selfies like crazy because we feel like we need to photo document this because it's such a big, weird, epic trip. But it kind of depends on the angle. I think you're still taller than me, but I think you're less taller than me than you used to be.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, if I'm taller than you at all, I know there was a time in my life when I was 6'2", and I know the last couple of times I went to the doctor. I don't remember exactly what I was, but I was not 6'2".
Really?
Yeah, definitely. I know I was knocked down to 6'1".
We're going to have to get you some Cuban heels. Does Everlane make a shoe with a Cuban heel?
Well, I've never heard that term before.
I just think it's a shoe that... It's got a little heel on it for folks that are looking to get a little extra in the height department. Hey, I just want to read a couple of these messages.
Yeah,
this is cool.
That's great. Yeah.
Our friend Emily back at APM, who's the master of coin when it comes to this realm known as the TBTL-a-thon, she's been getting messages left and right from the tens of listeners, folks who have donated. And she sort of passed along some of them to us. And they're so sweet. In fact, Emily was saying, Emily's been doing this, I guess, a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But I think to her, it's still just amazing, the community, the TBTL community. Like, how do I say this in a way that doesn't sound like I'm throwing shade on other public radio operations? I would say that this is not typical of a public radio operation, this kind of feedback. People, mm-hmm. of course, support public radio. They donate to it. But just the excitement that these people are expressing, it seems surprising even to Emily, who said, these are so heartwarming, mm-hmm. when she sent these along. Listener Kelly in Whitehall, Michigan, said, I've increased my donation this year. Luke and Andrew are an island of peace and calm, keeping me company during hectic and stressful days. Listener Patrick in Seattle said, I'm grateful for your work and your consistency with this crazy podcast. Dan in Phoenix said, TBTL sparks joy. Steven in Shelton, Connecticut, just wrote the lyrics of American Pie and submitted those. And, you know, I'm tempted, Steven, to read them, but I'm not going to, because these poor listeners have been put through enough. How about this? Listener Casey from Boise. We know Casey,
I know Casey from Boise.
Our last, the road trip we did with the RV took us through Casey's world. Casey says, quite simply, I love supporting my friends. Oh. She really did. She was like, they were so hospitable in Boise. It was amazing.
And Marge the Bulldog. Did we get a message from Marge the Bulldog, or was Casey speaking for the fam?
Let me see here. I think this is actually translated. I think that Google will auto-translate from Bulldog.
Nice.
It was originally, but it, you know. Now it comes out in English as, I love supporting my friends. Zinzi in Miami, Florida says, Luke and Andrew are like my friends in my back pocket. I depend on the weekday podcast and look forward to it passing every day. Much love. Oh, so are we like a kidney stone?
You know what? It's not always easy coming out, but once it's done, you're glad it's over.
Ilana in Newport News, Virginia. Starts with a quote. A true friend is someone who thinks that you are a good egg, even though he knows that you are slightly cracked. Wow, that describes us, yeah. And this. That was somebody named Bernard Meltier said that. Ilana says, I donated twice because I couldn't decide between two different thank you gifts. You guys are the best.
Aww.
A super important part of my day. Thank you for your genuineness and hilarity, your friendship and company. You make the hard times easier and the easy times funner. Mwah. And I think Alona knows that funner is not a word. There's just a bunch of these. I'm not reading these to try to, like, pat us on the back, Andrew. I'm reading these because I guess I'm still trying to, even all these years into this, absorb how lucky we are that this show, cracked though it is as an egg, somehow means something to people. And all these people who've been donating, not only are they donating money, but then they're taking the time to tell us how much the show means to them. And again, honestly, I can't really wrap my mind around that all these years later, but I'm overwhelmed by it. And I just want to say thanks to all of the people who've donated so far. This is really incredible.
I got a really nice note from listener Joseph. I'm not going to read the whole thing here, but if I may, I'm going to paraphrase it. Yesterday during the show, Luke, you... I think you were pretty honest, and you said, you know, it's interesting. We're in day three of this TBTL-a-thon, and we're still asking you to give and trying to remind you why TBTL is maybe important to you. And by day three, should we even be doing it anymore? Like, you get it. You're listening or you're not. You're going to give or you're not. And we kind of ruminated on that a little bit, and I got a really nice note from Joseph who said, no, you, this is good. You need to keep kind of – you need to keep – asking, because he's been a listener for a really, really long time, and he said that TBTL got him through some really tough times, sometimes when he moved to a new location and kind of felt alone in the world. And this was back when you were on the radio, and you, Jen, and Sean really were kind of a stabilizing presence for him. And he said, and so I know the value of TBTL, and it means so much to me. But even during last year's TBTL-a-thon, it kind of took me until Friday to finally kind of get off my butt and be like, yeah, no, I got to do this thing. So for everybody who is kind of like Joseph last year, and you know it's the thing to do, and you're planning on doing it, you're going to get around to it, if you don't mind, I'll put a link again in today's show description. If you just take it so that you can click on it no matter what pod catcher you're using, if you could just kind of take a moment and do it now if you plan on doing it anyway, it would really, really mean a lot. And I hope Luke and I are doing a good job of not just asking for you guys to donate, but really
telling you to, but just really ordering you to.
Just, like, I like to use the word demand.
Yeah.
But to really we really, really, truly appreciate it. And I feel like a big part of my life during TB Telethons and not during TB Telethons is trying to come up with words to really convey to everybody how much we appreciate you during the thon, during for donating, but also for everything that you guys do for making this whole experience special.
Yeah. And if there's one thing not good, we with our it's words.
So, you know, as Steve Martin once said, some people have a way with words, other people
no have way.
Not have way, I guess. But yeah, thank you so much to everybody who's given. We really, truly do appreciate it. I hope that thank you gifts are one way of showing that, and we'll continue to try to find new ways of showing it as well.
All right, let's
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
Our top story from the Alice Springs newspaper. This is a hell of a headline, Andrew. Bully Buffle barges into natives' live and let live harmony.
Bully barges.
Bully Buffle.
Bully Buffle.
Yeah.
Is that a buffalo?
Bully Buffle barges into natives' live and let live harmony.
Wow. Please explain.
So, Buffle is a kind of grass that is not native to Alice Springs.
Oh, invasive
Lindsay
species.
Johansson writing about Bully Buffle barging into natives' live and let live harmony.
I love it.
She says, this is a story about the bad guys winning.
Wow.
Going on
lead.
From my recent letter in these pages, it would appear that Lindsay writes a lot about Buffle.
Uh-huh.
She's on a one-woman mission to stop the spread of Buffle in Alice Springs. It turns out that Buffle is much hardier and better at repopulating than a lot of the native grass.
Okay.
And so what happens is as the Buffle comes into an area, I'll just read this to you. Buffle continues its slow but steady advance into the areas still the realm of native grass varieties. Just let that truck go by.
Yeah.
This constantly occurring process begins with a few wind-transported seeds germinating and establishing outpost colonies. Each of these then spread its seeds locally, expanding their area of influence and initiating further colonies. So what happens is it rains, and then a bunch of caterpillars come out, and the caterpillars start eating all of the grass, but I guess somehow the buffle is more hardy and survives, but all the native grass goes away. Check this out. Let's see. She's describing some of the other plants that then come through after the native plants go away. I guess that the buffle kind of clears the way for this. Goat's head thorn plants, lavender-colored wildflowers, and the diabolically pestiferous bogan flea. The buffle
flea
apparently makes it possible for the diabolically pestiferous bogan flea to grow where native grass had once.
Pestiferous.
Yeah, diabolically pestiferous.
I'm going to name the show that. How do you feel about that?
I like it. The other thing that happens is there's a whole process here in Alice Springs of all of the grass and trees burning down and growing back, which kind of happens in a lot of places, but somehow it sounds more extreme here.
Yeah.
There's a sort of series of fires, and they are started by lightning.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw a headline about that.
There's something called kerosene grass, which is...
Wow.
Kerosene grass, believe it or not, is the good thing.
Oh, yeah. It's native because it's native?
It's native, and it actually serves a purpose. The lightning strikes, the kerosene grass burns. Somehow, though, the buffle, it burns differently.
Mm.
So what happens is there's a fire, the kerosene grass burns, the buffle survives it because the buffle has woodier stems.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when the kerosene grass is gone, the buffle is the lone survivor and continues to propagate. So buffle is bullying out all of the native grasses. Regrettably, this is what Lindsay writes, regrettably, the conclusions seem inevitable. Over the longer term, say 30 to 50 years, that which the constant pressure of buffle's competitiveness doesn't displace or kill off, its fuel buildup then burn fire cycle eventually will. As a result, the region's acacia scrub woodland and all else it manages to colonize will become, if not wholly, then in broad essence, a buffle grassland monoculture.
She loves language.
Yeah.
The words she uses are wonderful. Like, I think I just learned five words since you've been reading. That's fantastic.
It does not give us any tips on how we can help as visitors to Alice Springs. I thought the end, I just read you the end of the piece. I thought the end was going to say, like, therefore, if you see buffle grass, pull it out.
Right, or clean your propellers. Wait, that's from milfoil, but you get it.
Yeah, but there was none of that. She's just saying, yo, it's and by the way, buffle grass is actually kind of cool looking. I'm looking at it right now.
That's the problem, right?
Yeah. I would love it if I had buffle grass at my house. I have terrible grass at my house.
I have two ideas for new weed strains when I get out of Seattle. I'm going to pitch them to whatever
OG,
local.
OG buffle grass kush.
Yeah, exactly. And some diesel grass. Hey, can I have a little bit of that? Or no, is
Dieseline?
I'm sorry. What's the kind of... Oh, kerosene grass?
Oh, kerosene grass?
Yeah.
Ooh, kerosene grass would be a great weed strain.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. What about the diabolically pestiferous bogan flea?
Oh, my God. Actually, yeah, that's the best one yet.
So that's the news here in Alice Springs. Watch out for the buffle grass. It's coming for us all. I know that we also have some Blursday messages, this being a Thursday. Should we do those before we call up our friend Christina Lopez?
I would love to do that. Okay. I think I have a little bit of music for that around here somewhere. Let's see if we can get it to work, though.
There's a right way to rock and a wrong way to roll. You can just listen to your soul. Just remember that life is number one. You can be having so much fun. Just remember that life is much fun. You can be number one.
You're on beat because we're in the same place.
This is very exciting. We had to travel to the Australian outback, Andrew, to be sitting across from each other. With no delay
there's
in the line.
There's got to be a better way. There was some kind of infomercial. What do you call like a cheap-ass advertisement that is infomercially, but it's just a 30-second or 60-second spot? Whatever those.
There's a name for that.
Cheap, but you know what I'm talking about. One of those.
It's like where all the Tupperware's falling out out of the cabinet.
In Reddit or Reddick parlance.
Oh,
it's,
sure.
Where did the soda go? There was one that we loved as kids, and me and my sister and my dad would laugh our asses off. I can't remember what the problem was, but at the end, the person would say, or in the middle, when they're talking about, when they're about to introduce the product, they would say, there's got to be a better way.
Yes.
That was a terrible story to share from my youth.
No,
but
it wasn't. I know exactly what you're talking about. Because it's always like, the thing that's being described is typically not a huge problem.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Never happening. I'm not breaking any ground with this, but it's never happening the way it happens in the ad, like tired of opening cans and this person's trying to open a can and then they like lacerate themselves and they're just like in a heap. It's like, yeah, it can be a pain, but no one's died from it yet or no one's been buried under a literal pile of Tupperware falling out of that top cabinet.
We have just a few Blursdays today because I think a bunch of people sent them in early in case we weren't able to get to them in the outback, but even the dry outback will allow green sprouts of Blursdays.
Yes.
And this one comes from Sarah.
Truly the buffle grass of celebrations.
Sarah says, I'd like to send a Blursday shout out to my 10 Kylie in Woodinville, Washington, who's turning 14.
Aww.
That's a great birthday. Kylie, this is Andrew talking here, not Sarah. You've made it through the hardest part of adolescence. I hope 14.
Really?
Yeah, I always think of 13. 13 is being the hump, but maybe that was my own. Maybe that's my own experience. But Sarah says to Kylie that she's beautiful, smart, funny, and a super, super artist and very artistic. Love ya, K girl.
Happy birthday.
There's a belated...
I mean that in a platonic podcast host way.
Of course. Okay. There's a belated happy birthday to fake Linda from Brisbane.
Brisbane! Power in.
This is from Michael in Spokane. He says, hope you're feeling better, fake Linda. I don't know what that's all about, but we all hope you're feeling better, fake Linda.
Wait, but is that actually Linda?
There's a little bit more context to the email that he didn't want me to read, but Linda is a real person. I think fake Linda is an inside joke.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but...
Happy birthday and feel better, fake Linda.
Yeah.
Linda.
And finally, this is from Danielle, Chris, and Dashiel. They say, can you wish our daughter Chloe a happy 10th Blursday?
Can we?
I think we can. Oh no, what happened to the music?
Happy birthday, Chloe.
I'm sorry I lost the music, but that's okay. They say Chloe has been a 10 since birth, born in Seattle and listening to TBTL on every family car trip for the last 10 years.
Is wow.
She's even sometimes quoting the show to her teachers. She quotes her, quote, radio friends' facts to her teachers. And when she is quoting our facts to her teachers, that sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
They kids say, in fantasy.
We now live in Philadelphia, but we lived in Melbourne, Australia for about 15 years ago, and we took Chloe and her brother there last year to visit. So two out of three Blurs Days have Australia connections today.
Nice. Very, very relevant to our travels. Should we, speaking of our travels, should we call our friend and colleague, Christina Lopez, a.k.a. Kiki Lolo?
Kiki, do you love me?
For our final update, this is, you know, she's been kind of helping us look forward to various towns we're going to go to, but we're now going to towns with no cell phone service.
That's right.
I think the plan is to get the update on Tennant Creek and Larimer, and then that'll be the final time we check in with Christina.
Yeah, so let's see if I can get her on the line here.
Hello?
Hello, Christina.
Hey, Luke. How's it going?
Good. We are in Alice Springs. We're like in the smack dab in the middle of Australia. And this is kind of our last, this is our last bit of real civilization. From here, we're going to Tennant Creek, and then we're going on to Larimer, which is like, well, we asked you to do a little research on it. That's really like the middle of nowhere, right?
Yeah. I actually ended up looking into Tennant Creek a little bit because I found like some cool stuff there. And
okay.
I knew that you guys knew a lot about the things that were going on in Larimer. And after doing like some preliminary research, that was pretty much all there was about that thing.
Yeah, we know what there is to know about Larimer. So what's the scoop on Tennant Creek?
Well, so Tennant Creek was actually named after someone who sponsored an explorer to go through that part of Australia.
Oh.
So it was named after John Tennant. And this was back in 1860. The total population is approximately 3,000, and half of that is made up of Aboriginal people.
Oh, wow. Okay. That'll be a different experience, because most of the towns we've been in so far, there's been a relatively small Aboriginal population. So this is going to be a new thing.
Yeah, that town is actually really diverse, according to like the Wikipedia page I read about this.
Nice.
it was also once the third largest gold producer in Australia.
Wow.
Okay. Is that still happening? What are the chances of us actually finding gold while we're there? Do they mention that on the Wikipedia page?
Actually, that was one of the activities that I had lined out for you guys.
Okay.
So you can
really?
Actually kind of go looking for gold. There's this thing called the Outback Caravan Park. And they run tours, and they provide all the equipment you would need to kind of go, I guess they call it fossicking for gold.
Okay.
And you need to get a permit, but it's free, and you can download it at a website. So I can send you the link to that website so you can get your free permit for that.
Oh, thank you. That's so thoughtful. Also, you know, we could really change the complexion of this TBTL-a-thon if we found us like a huge basketball-sized gold nugget. We could just probably end the TBTL-a-thon. Like right then and right there. That'd pay for a lot of stuff.
Right? Could you imagine? What if you strike gold? Do I get a piece? Because I give you a tip? I give you a hot tip?
Absolutely. And we'll name, like the person who sponsored the Tennant Creek exploration, we'll call this one the Christina Lopez gold mine or something. We'll name it after you and give you some of the gold.
I would love that.
And Kiki, I don't want to sound like kind of like a braggart here or anything, but the chances of us finding gold is good, because I don't know if you know this, but I'm quite the master at Minecraft. So I've been I feel like I've been practicing for this for a really long time.
I am so glad I found something in your wheelhouse, Andy.
Yes. It took a while, but we're here.
Now, if they also have a place where you can go play John Madden football on the easy setting, Andrew will dominate. Okay.
He's just doing Hail Mary passes every play.
There you go. Yep. I see you've played it as well. Anything else that we...
I have an older brother.
Anything else we should be looking for in Tennant Creek?
Yeah, so there's actually this conservation reserve that's about 65 miles out. It's called Devil's Marbles Conservation Reserve. And there's actually a smaller version of that closer to Tennant Creek, which is about 6 miles out, and it's called the Pebbles. And the thing that's really cool about that is that it's a sacred site, but at if you go at sunset, you can apparently see the changing colors of the granite stone. So it goes from like a glowing red and an orange to like a deep purple.
That sounds awesome. And actually, we might get to Tennant Creek in time for sunset. And we haven't done anything nature-y yet on this trip. We've just been like driving and then getting checked in and then recording the show. So that might actually be a chance to do some nature. I like to it's interesting knowing that, like, even in Australia, they name geographical things after the devil. You got like Hell's Canyon in America and things like that. I feel like the devil's marbles. Is that like are these rocks the devil plays marbles with?
I think it was like I saw a quote about this, but it didn't stick with me. But it was something like they saw how deserted it was, or how, you know, arid and dry the area was, and they were like, it seems like the devil was there and he left his marbles, because the rocks themselves are very round.
You know, Christina, I have to say, not being able to remember something you read, it makes you truly the third host of TBTL. You're really becoming part of the show.
I know. Yeah, I'm so glad. I finally like got into the groove of the TBTL.
You're doing it. You're forgetting things like a pro. Okay, well, listen, we should wrap this up, because we do need to hit the road if we're going to see the colors change on the devil's marbles. So thank you so much for doing this week. I know that it was like kind of weird timing for you, because you're in LA, and we appreciate you, you know, making yourself available and doing the research. And what is a fair percentage of gold that we need to share with you in your mind? Maybe we should negotiate that out. I was thinking 30%. Is that okay? 30% cut?
Can we get 35?
Since there's not going to be any gold, I'm willing to give you 70. I'm terrible at negotiating, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Okay. I'm looking forward to my 75% cut.
Okay, perfect. Christina, thanks again. Okay, well, we'll see you when we get back to the States.
Yes, please let me know when you make it back to the States.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye, guys.
All right. Our final check-in with Kiki Lolo. Not ever, but just
hopefully
for this particular.
Hopefully not ever. Now I feel all... You know, we say so many things on the show, like actually on the show and then off the air, where we make a little joke about, you know, like, we may not survive this. And I'm always like, that's all great as long as we survive it. But how dumb are we going to sound if we don't survive it?
I know. Well, I tell you what, if we don't survive it, it sounds like sounding dumb is going to be the least of our problems. I will say, I mean, not to be overly dramatic, but that was what I was thinking about driving on here. Like, driving on the left-hand side of the road was kind of an adventure, I guess. Mostly it was flat. And the scariest part is when you have to pass these giant road trains. Is that what they call them? Yeah, road trains, yeah. Which are like trucks that are pulling sometimes up to 3 giant trailers behind them, and you got to speed around them. But, you know, there weren't too many scary moments. But the thing about it is, and maybe this is why I was secretly tense and didn't realize it until I got out of the car later, is you just realize that the stakes are so high. You know, our car is, you know, running well, there's no issues, but you're just constantly thinking, but what if?
Well, it doesn't help that you see along the side of the road many, many cars that are totally jacked up, like rollovers, and, you know, like some of them, you and I have speculated that maybe these people drive these old beaters out there to literally crash them and like graffiti them and mess with them and just leave them. But there's a lot of other cars that was not the plan.
Definitely not the plan.
You can just see that somebody had a terrible crash, and it's so remote that the car doesn't even get towed back into civilization. It's just like, well, I guess that's where that Fiat spends the rest of its life. And it's like,
back to nature.
As you said,
that
you know,
Fiat's going back to nature.
I think you might have said this. I can't remember if it was on the show or off the show, but you said, like, every single, like, not to be dark, but every single kangaroo that's out there, this was on the show, every single kangaroo that unfortunately met with a grisly end, that was somebody. Unless, as I posited the theory, it's just one really messed up dude. But unless it's Immortan Joe from Fury Road, that, like, every one of those incidents that we see the evidence of is somebody who didn't think that was going to happen to them.
Yeah.
And every car that rolled over, nobody was like, I think I'm going to roll this car accidentally. So it's like, it's weird. I'm not like a nervous driver typically, but it is so far away from everything. And it is so many miles, and there are so many little just things along the periphery of the road that you need to be concerned about, that it is like, I do have this thought, like, let's survive this. Let's get through this. And I like, if I'm driving on I-5 to San Francisco, which, you know, is not the safest thing you can do either. People, of course, have accidents all the time in the States. But there's just something. There's always, you can always look to the side of the road and see a Tony Macaroni's or a Bed Bath and Beyond. And like, soulless as those things are, you're kind of like around people and things, and it has this way of making you feel like this is going to be okay. When we're out there, like really out there, and again, we are about to go through, if it's possible, even more remote stretch than we've been. It's like if something bad happens, you know, it's bad.
Yeah.
So
so what do you want to do for this final leg? I was going to ask you off the air, but let's just have the conversation here. How are you feeling? You said you enjoyed being a passenger. Do you want me to drive the next leg? Do you want to drive?
I think here's
totally
the thing.
Up to you. Don't, me talking about being stressed out and not knowing about it, don't let that influence you. What do you want to do? What's the best experience for you?
Well, I am going to let that affect me because I don't want you to, because I plan to complain a lot about the motel in Tennant Creek, and I don't need
you. By the
you
way,
to
speaking
argue.
Of, yeah, there were three hotels in Tennant Creek and only one of them picked up the phone. So that's where we're staying. Honestly, that is the true story.
Why don't I start off driving?
Okay, sure. But if you get tired, like I can handle it. It was not a bad experience me driving. I really enjoyed it. So don't feel like, you know, our night is ruined if I drive today. So whatever you want is fine with me.
All right. We've been trying to go out with Australian music or music made by Australians. And today will be no exception. We're going to do a little Empire of the Sun. The song is Half Mast off of the album Walking on a Dream. I love these guys so much. Always makes me think of our friend Jason Newman, R.I.P.
Oh, yeah?
He loved these guys, which is weird because he also loved Don't Rock the Jukebox by Alan Jackson.
Right,
he
yeah.
contained multitudes.
I love that.
So we'll do that, and we will wish you all well. We will thank you for supporting TBTL. Again, tbtl.net is where you can do that for the TBTL-a-thon. And we'll be right back here tomorrow. Lord willing, and the car don't roll from Tennant Creek. In the Northern Territory.
Our boss just had an aneurysm as you said that.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of TBTL. Please remember, no roadway too long. I know, I put you on the spot.
Bye, everybody.
And these shorts are billabong.
Perfect. Go hiking through the hills in a summer gown. Raise the kids, peace within a mega sound.
Power out.